the question was asked, how do we understand the two strengths in Am Yisrael that Chazal tell us are the strength of Rachel and the strength of Leah? So Chazal give us examples throughout the generations of how these two strengths are expressed, and we'll begin with the example of Rachel and Leah. Chazal tell us that Rachel was supposed to be Yaakov Avinu's wife. In Shemaim, it was already decided they were supposed to be married. When Yaakov saw Rachel, he saw that she and he were meant to be one. He recognized that spiritually the first time he saw it. And he was right. They were one neshama. They were meant to be together. Leah, at the beginning of her life, it was predetermined that she would marry Esau. And that's what her father thought, and that's what Esau thought, and that's what the whole community thought in Laban's territory. In Israel, Yitzchak had twin sons. He had Rachel and Yaakov and Esau. And out in Haran, Laban had twin daughters, Rachel and Leah. So everyone said, oh, twins. So everyone said, well, if there are twin cousins, so it's a match made in heaven. And they were right. In heaven, that was the original plan. Rachel was supposed to marry Yaakov. Leah was supposed to marry Esau. That's what was written in heaven. Leah was a tzaddikess. And Leah davened. And Leah davened. And Leah davened some more. And she cried. And she pleaded with her Ribono Shel Olam and said, I don't want to be with that Rasha. I want to marry Yaakov. And then Yaakov came to Haran, surprised the family, unannounced. Suddenly Yaakov comes in, and he makes a deal with Lavan. He says, Evodcha sheva shanim v'rachel bitecha ketana. I'll work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. He specifies in the contract, he wants Rachel, the younger daughter. Very, very clearly. Leah doesn't give up. She continues davening. And Chazal tell us that Leah's prayers were answered. When we read the story in the Chumash, we read about how Lavan tricked Yaakov and sent Leah in. And then the next morning, Yaakov realizes it's Leah. Chazal tell us that when Yaakov awoke the next morning and saw it was Leah, so he said, wait a second. I understand Rachel, she's a tzaddikess. She was silent and she didn't want to embarrass you. Okay, I could understand. I understand Lavan, he's a swindler, he tricked me. I'm going to take him to task. But you, Leah, what kind of person are you? Why'd you go along with this trick? Yaakov was upset at Leah. Chazal say that Yaakov wanted to divorce her. He said, what kind of person are you? What'd you do this for? And then an unusual thing happened. Leah became pregnant. When technically, Chazal teaches us that a woman who's a virgin from the first time after she gets married, usually she doesn't become pregnant. That first time, most women don't become pregnant. So that was unusual thing number one. Unusual thing number two was that Leah physically was infertile. Meaning Leah had a physical problem, which she technically, if the fertility experts of today would have examined her, they would have told her, lady, adopt. You don't stand the chance of bringing a child into the world. Chazal tell us that Hashem made a special miracle that Leah should be able to have children. Chazal say, going with the nature of things, Leah shouldn't have had any children. And we know Leah had 7 children at least, if not 12. Yeah, the question is, did she have twin daughters with each son or not? But Leah had either 7 or 13 children. So Yaakov sees that something unusual happened here. Leah became pregnant so fast. So Yaakov recognizes that Hashem was behind all this. he takes Laban to test. He says, why'd you trick me for? But at the same time, Yaakov comes to the realization that Leah must be a big tzaddikus, because Hashem is with her. And Chazal tell us that Hashem listened to her tefillot. So Leah represents that power of prayer, that power to plead before God, that power which she used to not only merit to marry Yaakov, but even to precede Rachel in marrying Yaakov. And you think about it. Technically, she wasn't supposed to marry Yaakov at all. Everything was set up that Rachel should marry Yaakov. And she prayed and prayed and said, Hashem, I don't want to fall in the lot of the Rasha. Help me out. I want to marry a righteous person, not a wicked person. Hashem accepted her prayers, and she ended up marrying Yaakov even before Rachel. Not only does she marry Yaakov before Rachel, she is the primary mother of the Shvatim. 6 out of 12 are her children. We know that Kehuna, Leviya, Malchus all come from Leah. The priesthood, the Levites, the kingship, it's all coming from Leah. So Leah not only got to marry Yaakov before her sister Rachel, but she even merited to be the mother of kingship, the mother of priesthood, the mother of 6 holy tribes in Israel. So that is the power of Leah. The power to speak up, the power to pray before God. What is Rachel's strength? Rachel has, from the time she was born, she's known that there's a fine person out in Israel named Yaakov who she is destined to marry. And then on that special day when Yaakov comes to Haran, she meets him. And Yaakov makes a deal with her father that in 7 years' time he will marry her. And Yaakov tells Rachel, he says, I know your father is a cheater, I know your father is a swindler. When you come under the chuppah, I want you to give me the following sign. There are 3 mitzvot that Jewish women are responsible for in the home. Challah, nida, hadlakas aner, the taking off of challah, taking off from the bread to give to the kohanim, nida, the laws of family purity, and hadlakas aner, lighting candles in honor of Shabbat and Yom Tov. When you come under the chuppah, I'm going to try to ensure that it's you. So I'm going to ask you for the sign, and you'll tell me that sign, and then I'll know it's you. They agree. 7 years pass, the day of the wedding comes, Rachel's getting ready for the wedding, Laban walks in and says, no, no, you're not going. Rachel says, what do you mean, Abba? So Laban says, no, I'm sending Leah. Rachel is mortified. Her whole life she's been waiting for this day. She's been waiting to marry Yaakov.
That's true, she's not just to press. She's not just to press Yaakov, but she got too. She waited to get married to Yaakov too, right?
Who?
Rachel.
Rachel was waiting to get married to Yaakov, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So all the time
it
was Yaakov was waiting
here.
Rachel
was also waiting.
You're right, right.
I'm saying, and now the day of the wedding comes, and Lavan walks in and says, Rachel, you stay here. Leah's going to the chuppah. Leah's marrying Yaakov. You could imagine what Rachel was thinking. All her dreams are shattered. Rachel couldn't have known what would happen the next morning. Meaning, Yaakov wakes up in the morning. He sees that he's been tricked. Rachel had no guarantee that Yaakov would come back and marry her. Rachel had no guarantee that her father would allow Yaakov to marry her. So on that moment when Rachel is being told, no, you're not going to the chuppah, Leah's going. At that moment, from her perspective, it's over. What's her single hope? If I sit here quietly, when Leah comes under the chuppah, Yaakov's going to ask her for the sign. She won't know the sign. And then Yaakov will say, wait, I'm not marrying this girl. This isn't the Rachel I agreed with you. So Rachel knows that if she only sits there quiet, then maybe she'll still merit to marry Yaakov, right? But there'll be a price. Leah will be embarrassed in front of everyone. So at that moment, Rachel makes a pivotal decision. Rachel goes over to Leah and says, when you come into the chuppah, Yaakov's going to ask you for the sign. What are the three mitzvot that Jewish women are responsible for? Here are the three mitzvot. This is what you should tell me. And Rachel gives the sign over to Leah. Technically, she's the one that brings Leah into her life. She's the one that allows Leah to marry Yaakov that night. Approximately 1,500 years later, when the Jewish people are being exiled from the land of Israel, all the tzaddikim in our history come before God and plead, don't let them be killed, don't let them be destroyed. And everyone that comes in, God has an answer. Avram comes in, God has an answer. Yitzchak comes in, God has an answer. Yaakov, God has an answer. Moshe, God has an answer. Yoshua, every leader came in, and everyone, God tells them, what are you fighting for them? Look at what they've done. The Torah comes in and pleads on behalf of the Jewish people, and God says, what do you want? They haven't kept you. The Shabbos comes in, one after another. The merits that should have stood by the Jewish people, God says, well, they didn't live up to what they were supposed to do. Everyone's weeping in heaven. And then the Jews stop by Rachel's tomb. When they pray by Rachel's tomb, Rachel walks in before the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Before?
Before God, before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and says, God, I took in competition. I, myself, was silent, and even I facilitated the fact that Leah would be married to Yaakov. If I could stand by and watch how my beloved marries someone else, and I could do that. So you could stand by and watch how the Jewish people bring in an idol into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and everything they've done. If I could do it, then you could do it. Shalom. So Rachel is the only one who can speak. And her claim is accepted, because what can God say? They've sinned. Rachel says, yeah, okay. They're not right. But I also was willing to swallow an injustice. Rachel is the one that can step forward and speak on behalf of the Jewish people. So Rachel's strength was the fact that she held herself strong, that she held back. She didn't run forward and say, Yaakov, this is what's happening, save me. No. She gave the signs to Leah, and she held herself silent. She held back. And that strength can stand by the Jewish people when no other strength can. That's the strength of Rachel. The strength of Leah is the strength of prayer, getting up there and davening. The strength of Rachel is the capacity to hold back, to be silent. But not to be silent in a placid way, in a lazy way, in an inactive way. It's a silence that's active. It's a silence where everyone else would yell, where everyone else would not be silent. It's the ability to have self-control and focus on what does God want me to do here. If God wants me to be silent, I will be silent. That is the strength of Binyamin. Binyamin knows that his brother sold Yosef down to Egypt. His father Yaakov does not know, but Binyamin knows. So when Binyamin names his children, he has 10 children, and he names each one after the fact that his brother Yosef is not around, because he knows Yosef is alive. But Binyamin is silent, because Binyamin also knows that Yaakov shouldn't know about it. So Binyamin's strength is his silence. Yoshfei is the stone of Binyamin on the breastplate. Chazal tell us Yoshfei. Yoshfei. That's the name of the stone. Chazal tell us the stone also stands for the two words Yesh Peh. He had a mouth and he knew to keep it shut. He had the capacity to tell Yaakov, this is what the brothers did to Yosef, but he was silent. Yehuda, he steps up. He speaks. That's Yehuda's strength. When all the brothers don't know what to say, Yehuda steps forward. He speaks to Yaakov. He speaks to Yosef, who tzafnas panech at the time. How does Yosef stand up to Potiphar's wife? By holding himself back. That's the strength of Rachel. How does Yehuda bring around the Mashiach? By going with Tamar. Action, holding back. Two strengths in Am Yisrael. We move forward in history. Our first king, Shaul. The Talmud discusses why did Shaul merit to have the throne? The prophet tells him, you're going to be the first king of Israel. He comes back home. His uncle asks him, where you been? He says, oh, we were looking for dad's donkeys and we stopped by the prophet. So the uncle says, really, you stopped by the prophet? What did he tell you? So Shaul tells him, he told us where the donkeys are located. He doesn't mention the fact that he told me I'm going to be the first king of the Jewish people. That he doesn't mention. That's his modesty. That's why he merited to be the first king of Israel, because he had that modesty. That capacity to be silent. Not to talk. Not to tell his uncle. His uncle, he's not bragging. He's not going to the bar and telling everyone. His uncle, he doesn't tell him. David composes Tehillim. David is all about prayer. He speaks to the Ribbon Shel Olam. That's the strength of Leah. David comes from Yehuda, the tribe of Leah. We go further in history. What's Mordechai's strength? Mordechai will not bow. Mordechai comes from Binyamin. Mordechai comes from Rachel. When everyone else bows, he does not bow. What is Mordechai's strength? Mordechai calls out to Hashem. Ish Yehudi. Mordechai is from Yehuda. So, Beizak Zaka Gdola Umara. Mordechai gathers the Jewish people. The Gemara has a hard time positioning Mordechai. Is he from Yehuda? Is he from Binyamin? On the one hand, we see in him traits that seem to be from Binyamin. On the other hand, we see in him traits that seem to be from Yehuda. Which one is it? Daniel is clearly from Yehuda. We know, it says it in the beginning of the book of Daniel. And we also see Daniel's strength. He speaks before the king. Daniel prays. We learn the concept of three prayers a day from Daniel. Daniel's from Yehuda. What about Mordechai? On the one hand, Mordechai, lo yichave, lo yishtachve, he won't bow. On the other hand, what is Mordechai? Mordechai is the one who prays and gathers the Jewish people in prayer, and he annuls the decree of Haman. Esther, we know Esther came from Binyamin. What was Esther's strength? In Esther magedet moladeta ve'etama. Esther did not tell what nation she came from. That's the strength of Rachel. Silence, holding back. If you take the name Mordechai, the gematria of the name Mordechai equals the gematria of Rachel plus Leah. Rachel is 238. Leah is 36. 238 plus 36 equals 274, which is the gematria of Mordechai.
Both together.
Both together. It's the two strength. He's called Ish Yehudi, he's called Ish Yemini. The Gemara has an argument which strength he's coming from. Is he from Leah? Is he from Rachel? But these are the two strengths, and the Midrashim point out other occurrences in Jewish history where we see these two strengths. The Kabbalists discuss that we have Tikkun Rachel and Tikkun Leah. I don't know any Kabbalah, I don't know what to say about that. But these two strengths, the Medrash Rabbah says, and says in a few Midrashim about these two strengths within the Jewish people. So it's the strength of prayer, it's the strength of standing up and doing, and then it's the strength of having self-control. Where anyone else would have done what's wrong, holding back and not doing it. Be it Rachel that doesn't break forth, be it Yosef that doesn't go with the wife of Potiphar, be it Binyamin that doesn't tell his father about what's happening with Yosef, be it Shaul that doesn't tell about what's happening with the fact that he was anointed as first king, be it the Esther that doesn't tell what nationality she's from. And then ultimately we know that there's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And what their positions are going to be, Bezrat Hashem, when we learn it, maybe we'll see how they fall in line with these two strengths of Rachel and Leah and Am Yisrael. Clear?